The first reading you can find on page 1179 in the Pew Bibles, or page 2073 in the large print version. The reading is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 3 to 11. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading can be found on page 1047 of the Pew Bibles and 1849 in the large print version. The reading is taken from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they said, had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you'll be honoured in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, or relatives, or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord.
Pray be to God. So before I begin, a prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us all to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in our gospel reading this morning, we have two seemingly disjointed episodes: the healing of a man and a meal. So as I spend the next 15 minutes trying to explain something of what I think it might mean, you might find it useful to have your Bibles open at page 1047. Now our first clue is that once more it is a Sabbath day. The Jews had many laws that governed what they could and could not do on a Sabbath. Many of these laws came from the Old Testament, particularly the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The Sabbath was meant to be a day of thanksgiving to God for all the blessings that the Jews enjoyed, and also a day of rest, because on the seventh day God rested after creating the world. The Sabbath was meant to be a day of celebration with God and family. But other laws had been added down the centuries. Laws that defined how far someone could walk, how much they could lift, what was and wasn't considered work. And many of these additional laws, rather than help the Jews, actually hindered them. Rather than a delight, the Sabbath was sometimes a burden. Now, our second clue is that Jesus is eating at the house of an important Pharisee. The Pharisees, you may remember, were powerful people. They were experts in Jewish religion and religious law. According to their interpretations of the laws, you were a law keeper or a law breaker. You were clean or unclean. You were in or out. It was not wise to fall foul of the Pharisees. And this is the third occasion in the Gospels that Jesus is invited to the house of a Pharisee on the Sabbath. The fact that he is being carefully observed is an indication that he is not being invited with an innocent motive. Eventually, they will decide to plot Jesus' death. But for now, the Pharisees are testing him. Other episodes in the Gospels are similar. Last week, Bob preached on Jesus healing a woman on the Sabbath under the critical eyes of the Pharisees. At other times, they criticized him and his disciples for picking corn to eat on the Sabbath and for not washing before eating. Each time, Jesus challenged the hypocrisy of their laws and their behavior. And this occasion was no different. The man with dropsy, which was an abnormal swelling of the body, was probably suffering from what we call now edema or water retention. Because of the bloated appearance, the Jews apparently associated this condition with insatiable desire. The Jews of Jesus' time associated many illnesses with some sort of moral failure. They reasoned that sick people were paying the physical price of spiritual or moral wrongdoing. Consequently, they were considered unclean, and as such, were excluded from the religious and social life of their community. They were outcasts. Because of his outward appearance, this poor man is judged and found guilty by people who are outwardly physically healthy, but inwardly spiritually sick. Elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus says that the Pharisees are like whitewashed tombs, clean on the outside, but corrupt and rotten on the inside. I wonder, how often do we judge people without understanding them? Jesus challenges their hypocrisy because he knows full well that they would work on the Sabbath if it benefited them. But they won't allow the people over whom they have power to do likewise. They only care about outward appearance. The plight of the poor, the marginalized, the excluded does not enter their minds. It doesn't even occur to them that it should. They have nothing to say. Jesus then has the opportunity to observe the Pharisees' behavior at the meal. And it would seem that it was totally normal for them to try to grab the best place at the table. It would seem that for the Jews of Jesus' day, the measure of a person's worth is by something as simple as where they sit to eat. And the higher the place at the table they can take, the more worthy they are seen to be by those below them. We can imagine perhaps how Jesus' heart must have sank. The fact that St. Paul has to rebuke the Corinthian church for similar selfish behaviour seems to confirm that this was perfectly natural for the time. Well, this may be the natural behaviour of the world, but Jesus says this is not the supernatural behaviour of those who belong to the kingdom of God. The Old Testament prophet Micah sums up exactly the behaviour God requires of us. We are to act with justice, we are to be merciful, and we are to walk humbly with God. Justice, mercy, and humility. Jesus isn't saying that we should compete with each other to see who can be the most humble. He doesn't want a church full of snivelling Uriah Heeps. That's as unseemly as fighting for the highest seat. False humility is also born out of selfish ambition. We are not to be humble so that we may all be equally low. We are to be humble so that we may raise others up. After all, if we take the lower seats, it means that others must sit in the higher seat. People move up by default. Our very presence raises people up. Our very presence as Christians in our community ought to be good news for our neighbours. Christ did not humble himself so that he could be as low as we are. He humbled himself so that we could be raised up to a higher place. And as Christ humbled himself to raise us up, so we are to humble ourselves to raise up others. Thus, through us, the kingdom of heaven is able to be a here and now present reality, as well as a future hope. Jesus teaches more about justice for the weak, the poor, the excluded, than he does about almost anything else. And therefore, as his followers, that surely must be a prime concern for us too. Yet so much of what we do is motivated by self-interest. Selfishness seems hardwired into us. We could, I suppose, call it sin. The human race is remarkable. We are able to survive in every environment on the earth. We adapt, we learn, we grow, we build. Yet our history is marred by shameful behaviour. We have scrambled for the highest seat in every continent we have set foot on. We have trampled down anything and anyone that has got in our way. We have stolen, oppressed, abused, enslaved, and murdered. We have taken what we wanted and left a trail of destruction and misery in our wake. We have taken what God has made good, and we have spoiled it. Now, the way of the kingdom of heaven is not the way of the world. We know that. And yet the tragedy is that even now, we continue to behave as if the highest place at the world's table belongs to us and is ours by right. Apparently, there are just over 7 billion people in the world. Only 1.5 billion enjoy the lifestyle that we enjoy. Warm homes, clean water, more than enough to eat, more than enough of everything we want. The other 5.5 billion aspire to what we have. The trouble is, the world does not have enough resources for everyone else to have what we have. So we have a problem. For us to continue to have what we have, the other 5.5 billion must continue to have less. Or, for them to have more, we must have less. How does Jesus' teaching about high and low seats address this problem? In our reading, Jesus says that if we take the lowest seat, we will be promoted to a better one. For all those who humble themselves will be exalted. In the same way that Christ humbled himself literally giving up his life on the cross so that all may be raised up from life to death. And God exalted him to the highest place. So we are to humble ourselves, giving up our lives for the sake of others, and we will be exalted to the highest place alongside Christ. It's important to emphasize that our sacrifice is not so that we might be exalted. Christ's sacrifice has already done that. It's guaranteed. We give our lives not for what we can get, but in response to what we have already received. We are to give our lives for the same reason Christ gave his life. For love. For love of our neighbor, for love of the world, for love of creation. This is not the kind of love that seeks anything or expects anything in return. It is a sacrificial love that always seeks the highest good, not just for people, but for all that God has made, and never expects anything in return. It's undoubtedly costly. The way of Christ is not easy for anyone, but it is impossible for a self-centered people. Jesus tells us that the gate is small and the way is narrow. Too small and too narrow for a people puffed up with self-importance, but large enough and wide enough if only we can go humbly, on our knees and with our heads bowed. Thankfully, we do not go alone and in our own strength. We travel the road with each other. The encouragement of each other in our discipleship is so important, which is why we're having this big push on Nurture Group membership for September. Walking with each other through life's challenges, through our Christian discipleship, asking questions, supporting each other is so important. We travel together. Most importantly, we travel with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has promised he will always be with us. Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it to the full. Let us live our lives and give our lives so that others might have it also. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your written word in the Bible. Help us always to come to it often and humbly, seeking your guidance for us. Then, Lord, from what we have learnt, give us the courage to act. Amen.